going to be accused of being a hater just for speaking truth and standing up for truth, but that's okay. You are not here for worldly approval. You are here to reflect the light of Christ. So do not allow the false perceptions of others to determine and affect your witness and determine your identity.
Welcome to the Mama Bear Apologetics Podcast,
a podcast where we teach you to roar like a mother.
And by roar, we mean recognize the message, offer discernment, argue for a healthier approach, and reinforce these ideas with your kids.
Unless you want to growl around your house. I mean, that's cool too. You're like, check it. We keep it reals.
That's so bad.
You're awesome.
Mama Bear Apologetics is a listener-supported program, so if you like what we do, head on over to the Mama Bear Apologetics website and click support.
It's time to rise up, ladies.
Rise up, Mama Bears. This might not affect your faith,
but it might affect your children's.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to another Mama Bear Apologetics podcast, a podcast dedicated to helping you raise kids who think critically, love biblically, and stand firm in the faith. I'm your host, Amy Davison, and I just want to give a big shout out to everyone that we have been able to meet through our various conferences already this year. It has just been a huge blessing, not only to hear your stories and how Mama Bear has been able to help you speak life into your friends, your family, and your children, but also to be able to continue ministry out in this nation, because sometimes it can feel so discouraging when you turn on the news, but we will just testify to the fact that God is moving all across this nation, and we are so grateful to be able to see it firsthand. Now, one thing that we get asked at Mama Bear quite often is, how do I use the roar method with my kids? And it's great when we can point out a movie or a show or a book to help you do this. And today we've got one that's just been handed to us by the Super Bowl campaign, the 2024 Super Bowl commercials, and that would be the He Gets Us commercial. Now, if you have not seen this commercial yet, there is going to be a link down in the description for you to be able to watch it, as well as the commentary from the He Gets Us campaign as to their motivation behind the commercials. So that way you can watch it with your kids or watch it by yourself and be able to refresh yourself on what's going on. For those of you who have seen it or who are driving and can't turn on a video, thank you for not watching a video while you drive. That's okay, because I'm going to describe it. Now, this commercial is specifically asking the question, who is my neighbor? And the goal behind the He Gets Us campaign says that our hope is that our latest commercial will stimulate both societal discussion and individual self-reflection about the concept of who is my neighbor, and how each of us can love our neighbor even as we have differences and serve one another with more kindness and respect. A very nice and noble goal. Now, if you're familiar with Mama Bear, you will recognize the roar method is the act of discernment. And we've broken it up into four parts that are easy for you to memorize as well as for your kids and easy to implement in the media that you consume. So it starts out with R, which is recognize the message. This means that whatever we see or hear, we're going to then represent that as faithfully as possible without any sort of snarkiness at all, what exactly is going on. Then we're going to O, offer objective discernment. This is built upon the existence of truth, meaning there is truth and there's falsehood, and we're rightly going to point out everything that is true, good, or perhaps justified. And then we're going to also point out where there is misunderstandings, where there is falsehood, where there are lies or corruptions. Then we're going to argue for a healthier approach, which means we're going to take everything we just rightly discern and then point it back toward Christ. Okay, how do we take this falsehood? What can we recognize in here and then use toward pointing back toward Christ so that people can understand the truth of the matter? And then R, reinforce, which means we're going to prepare to have future conversations with our kids and be able to put this into practice with anything else that comes within our purview. So let's start out with the He Gets Us Super Bowl 2024 commercial. Now, this Who is My Neighbor, it starts out by showing a lot of sort of dichotomies within pictures. So it starts out with the concept of washing feet. So first we see a son washing the feet of his father, a cop washing the feet of a criminal, a popular girl washing the feet of perhaps more of an edgier, I wouldn't call her goth because she's very colorful. Typically goths are more black, but she's definitely an edgier gal than you see in Cowboy washing the feet of an Indian. A pro-life protester washing the feet of a teen, more than likely who is seeking an abortion. A daughter washing an alcoholic mother. An oil guy, somebody who is he's on an oil field and he's got the little oil wells there, who's washing the feet of a climate protester. Then we have a woman washing the feet of an illegal immigrant. A neighbor washing a Muslim woman's feet. We have two protesters, and these are sort of a feminist and anti-feminist protesters. If you read their signs in the background, you see that, you know, they're one of the signs is like, tell them to shut up. You know, they're definitely disparaging men there. So you've got one who is a feminist and one who's an anti-feminist. And the anti-feminist is washing the feminist's foot or feet. Then we have what almost looks like a repackaging of Mr. Rogers, a scene from Mr. Rogers to where he is sharing a pool on a hot evening. So it's a white gentleman with a black gentleman, and they're just putting their feet in a little kiddie pool. And then you see a priest washing the feet of a homosexual man. And at the very end of all of these pictures, which were beautifully photographed, it has the message, Jesus didn't teach hate, he washed feet. He gets us, all of us. And scene. That's the end of the commercial. So that is what's being presented, is that look at all of these people who are on polarizing opposite ends of the spectrum. They're taking time to wash each other's feet with the command that Jesus didn't teach hate, he washed feet. So what is the campaign? When we're looking at the offering discernment, the best way to do that is to ask questions. So what we want to first look at is, what is the campaign asking us to set aside? And specifically, what do they mean by hate? So for context, this commercial is based out of John 13, passages 1 through 20, where it's Jesus washing the feet of the disciples. Now, if you were to skip over to Luke 22, verse 24, you'd see that the disciples had a pride issue. And this is actually throughout the Gospels. You see the disciples constantly bickering over who was going to have the best seats, whether or not just next to Jesus or in heaven, which one of them was the greatest among them. I mean, these guys had a serious pride issue. And Jesus, by washing the feet of the disciples, he was demonstrating how they were to act toward each other. They are to be humble servants. And this was not only because each of the disciples had a different background. This was also because they were about to go on a very aggressive missionary field to where there's going to be a lot of hostilities. And if they didn't set aside their biases toward Gentiles or other believers, then they would not be able to effectively reach them with the gospel. What I mean by that is if they were not willing to see every human being as worthy of hearing the gospel message, then they were not going to be effective for the kingdom. So Jesus set aside his role as teacher, as master, and stooped to be the lowliest of low servants, washing the feet of the disciples. But is that what the commercial is asking? So when we ask our kids, what are they setting aside? So what they're actually communicating throughout the commercial is, we are asked to set aside political views, the biblical stance on homosexuality and LGBTQ ideology. We're asked to set aside pro-life stance, and potentially truth as well. So the goal is, you know, how to treat each other. How are we to see the person behind the politics and the beliefs with this focus on humanity, which is great because unfortunately our culture today loves to label people with this ideological label, because if you can strip somebody of their humanity, then you can attack them. In fact, when you think of when society especially has gone corrupt, they will often belittle the humanity of an individual, because then once they do that, oh, well, then no hold bar, we can do whatever we want with them. So this often leads or precedes the abuse of an individual or a group. And in fact, one of the burdens of the He Gets Us campaigns is recognizing past abuse that has happened at the hands of religion. So we can rightly say, yes, you're right, that is a problem. However, we also have to be careful, because while this rightly recognizes that we need to recognize the humanity of each individual and that we rightly need to reach each individual because every single person is worthy of hearing the gospel, we are not to set aside truth in the process. And that's where this commercial starts to fall short. So look here. Some of the problems with the He Gets Us campaign is, For one, the specific commercial, it confuses the act of service with the rejection of truth. So as we just saw, you know, the disciples had pride issues, which rightly they needed to overcome. Peter would end up rejecting Gentiles to side with his fellow Jewish brothers. And so this was always to speak toward, okay, we're speaking toward pride here. And Jesus was the ultimate model of humanity for how we were to serve others and not to allow perhaps maybe a perceived lowly act determine somebody's worth or effectiveness of the kingdom. I mean, we are not to seek out sort of this high profile place. Instead, we are willing to serve each other within the kingdom, regardless of what that might be. And he constantly spoke to the pitfalls of pride. But unfortunately, with that act of Jesus didn't teach hate with that statement there, and that is conveying this message that, okay, we are not to actually take any sort of objective truth stance at all. The problem with number two, it really lies in there. It denies objective truth and biblical teachings like protecting the unborn or properly stewarding our bodies and sexuality. And you actually see this throughout the He Gets Us campaign website. So one of the examples they gave is pride. They say this, they say pride is the I'm right and you're wrong stance. Wait a second, that is not the definition of pride. Pride isn't, or arrogance, which they can almost be used synonymously here, that's not in speaking truth, it's the way in which we speak truth. I mean, you can speak the truth of God, but if the way in which you're conveying it is more like, you know, I often say it, like you're hucking Bibles like dodgeballs, you are not speaking in a God-like manner, in a Christ-like manner. That doesn't mean you stop speaking truth. That means you tailor your approach to meet the needs of the audience in which you are speaking. And we see Jesus do this constantly with Zacchaeus and the woman at the well, especially. He did not compromise truth. He met them where they're at, but he never met them as a way to affirm their sin, but to reach them with the gospel. That's completely different than what's being conveyed within this message. Now, if the commercial was all about, hey, don't make a jerk of yourself while you're protesting, man, I can get behind that all the way, because people can get really passionate. And the second you throw feelings in, folks have a habit of getting carried away and misconstruing the message of Jesus in just sort of this hateful and aggressive way. But if the message, which unfortunately was conveyed in this commercial, isn't wrong, you have to set aside all sorts of objective truth to not preach hate. Wait a second, now we got a problem. Because this is actually can promote relativism. In fact, that's in part of their description. It says it was these words and actions of Jesus that inspired us. So they're speaking about the passage of Jesus washing the disciples' feet. This is what they said inspired them. We began to imagine a world where ideological others were willing to set aside their differences and wash another's feet. So here we have a false sin claim. And that's this idea that if we get rid of ideologies, then we're going to have this sort of worldly peace. And those two words should really be kicking off, ideological and differences. So an ideology is a system of belief. And differences, that's a very subjective term. It implies that there's no moral weight to the decisions at hand. So now it's saying, no, there's not religion, there's not truth and falsehood, there's not doctrine. Instead, these are just different opinions, different ideologies, different systems of beliefs between different people. So again, this relativistic worldview. And then the decisions based on those ideologies are just differences, meaning they have no moral weight. It's just your opinion that an unborn child has a right to life, and it's her opinion that they don't. And if we just set those aside, then everything will get better. And no, that's completely false. For one, that has never happened in the history of humanity. And again, this implies that if we're united around objective truth, then we're actually going to keep people away from Jesus. So it's actually saying part of the problem is truth. And we need to set aside truth because then we'll be united. But united around what and around whom? Because Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me, John 14:6. And if we're to set aside truth, we're setting aside Christ himself. And we can even think of this practically, like when Jesus was speaking to the rich young ruler, and the rich young ruler said, hey, I've kept all of the biblical commands. What must I do to have eternal life? Jesus said, you're right. You have kept the commands, but there's one thing you lack. And that's basically your love for your money and wealth. Go ahead and give all your wealth away and come and follow me. And the rich young ruler didn't do that. And Jesus didn't go chasing after him saying, hey, I'm just kidding. Sorry, I was speaking a little hate right now to you who are just loving your money. Go ahead, keep your money and you can still be a follower of me. No, he recognized that this young gentleman had a serious heart issue around money. And he called him to walk away from it. And the man chose not to. That is not Jesus speaking hate. That is him rightly pointing out a false idol in an individual's life and calling him to set it aside, which he freely chose not to do. So again, there's this huge warped problem around this denial of objective truth and this false idea that if we are united around truth, then we're keeping people away from Jesus. And no, it's people's choices that keep them away from Christ. If they do not give up false idols and stop pursuing after falsehood, then they cannot pursue after Christ. Now, this also denies, number three, that Jesus denounced sin. And again, this is all wrapped up in this question of what does the campaign mean by hate? And they kind of give this free pass. Oh, no, there's just differences. There's not really sin. But scripture is very clear that God does speak against hate, and not all cases of hate are wrong. For example, Proverbs 6:16-19. There are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, those that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that make haste to run to evil, a false witness who breathes out lies, and one who does discord, who sows discord among his brothers. So again, there are actual wrong actions. If objective truth exists, then all-knowing, all-powerful, all-good, all-truthful God exists, then objective truth exists. And if we are striving for, if we're affirming objective truth, then there is things that are falsehood. There are things that are lies. And it is not wrong to hate those things. Not all hate is bad. The fear of the Lord is hatred of evil. Pride and arrogance and the way of evil and perverted speech I hate. Again, Proverbs. So hating falsehood is not wrong. If there, like we said, if there's an objective moral standard set aside by a loving God, then violating that is something we are supposed to be against. And, you know, I completely understand where the He Gets Us campaign comes from. I mean, like I mentioned before, one of their big things is the manipulation of religion to belittle, exploit, and abuse others. And unfortunately, that has happened in the past. And sadly, it is something that probably will continue, it will continue. But that doesn't mean that what God teaches is wrong. Jesus is also against that. He is against the manipulation. In fact, that's why he flipped tables in the temples and he called out the Pharisees for adding to the law or using perceived loopholes to justify their own sinful behavior. But he was able to do so because truth existed and the violation of that was worthy of righteous indignation and wrath. Otherwise, Jesus was just a hater. Now, the fourth problem with the He Gets Us command commercial is that it idolizes feelings over truth. Again, it's based on this. Well, I have to have this perception of this loving feeling, but perception isn't always reality. It's a perspective of reality. To put it another way, feelings are real, but they're not always true. Just because someone feels like they are hated doesn't actually mean that hate is happening. In fact, when we speak truth in love, it doesn't matter how gently we speak it, it's still going to be misconstrued, misunderstood by individuals whose hearts are hardened against the Lord. Jesus taught with grace and love and patience for all, but there were still people that were outraged by everything he spoke and everything he did, even healing people, healing them from their infirmities. People were against and tried to kill him for it. And the problem is this sort of idolization of truth, it smuggles in this sort of embrace, endorse, promote, and defend that we often see within activist movements. It's used throughout. In fact, that's a lot of the language that is used throughout the He Gets Us campaign are activist in nature, love, justice, activism. And that could be because this campaign is backed by the Come Near campaign, which is all about marketing. I mean, they claim to love Jesus. I've been on their website and their LinkedIn page. They are incredibly basic. There is hardly anything listed on there. One thing they will say is that they are just a group of marketers that are trying to bring people Jesus. And that can be great, but it can also be problematic because part of marketing, you're trying to reach and get the widest audience to come to you as possible. And the only way to do that is to water something down to make it as appealing as possible to the widest number. And we're seeing that happen with truth. We're seeing that happen with these commercials, is they're trying to make it as palatable as possible to the widest number of people possible to try to bring them to Jesus. But are they actually bringing them to Jesus when they're compromising on the concepts of truth and sin? In fact, I even see this through, there's one of their articles, which I'll attach in the footnotes, even to talk about sin. There's an article talking about why is it so hard to live the tenets of Christianity? Why is this so difficult? And they don't talk about, oh, well, it's because of the brokenness of sin nature. They just say, well, it's just because it's really hard. And we just have to relearn how to do things. In fact, let me read it to you. So that way I'm just being clear here. It says, why don't we see an abundance of those traits we all value in the real world? Meaning all the traits that we admire about Jesus. Why don't we see them throughout the real world? It says, we think the answer is pretty clear. And you would think this is where sin nature would come in, but here's what it says. It says, because these traits are incredibly difficult to live out. Living together well does not come naturally. We have to learn how to do it. And in that process, we have to unlearn all sorts of habits and leanings that get in the way. So there is no sin. There's just a habit that you need to unlearn. So again, problematic language. And I think that if I had to guess, it's because, again, this is a movement that's geared toward marketing Jesus, not preaching Jesus. And you can even see that throughout their website. If you hop on there, he's phrased as a man teaching the greatest love story that's ever been taught. Yes, in some aspects, yes, that's true, but it's also a lot more than that. So these are the four common problems that we're seeing specifically with just this commercial alone. One, that it confuses the act of service with the rejection of truth, that it denies objective truth. Two, and biblical teachings like protecting the unborn, stewarding your sexuality. Three, it denies that Jesus denounced sin. It just gives off this implication that if you speak anything that makes somebody else outraged or uncomfortable, that you're being a hater. And four, it idolizes feelings over truth. Because again, how can we conceptualize love without an objective definition of love, without an objective standard? And you can't do it. All you can base it on is feelings. And feelings, as I believe it was T.C. Cannon in our first book said, are a great check engine light, but a terrible GPS. So how do we argue for a healthier approach? For one, we recognize that within this commercial, this is presenting a false dichotomy against truth. You do not have to compromise truth to be kind. You do not have to compromise truth to recognize the humanity of others. Jesus did this all the time. We have to go and look at his example to be able to understand how to do this well, which is why it's so important for us to be diving into scripture regularly, saturating us in scripture so that we know how to articulate our faith, our beliefs, and to witness to others in a Christ-like manner. And this is completely irrelevant of another person's perception of that. What I mean is if you are articulating the faith well and in a godly manner, and if somebody still is angry about that, it doesn't mean that you did something wrong. It just means that at that time, that person is not receptive to the gospel. And when light tries to shine into darkness, darkness is going to become hostile to it. Just because Jesus's teachings, another thing we need to encourage our kids is just because Jesus's teachings have been abused or that people have been offended or abused by them, it doesn't mean we set aside truth. Instead, we need to adjust our approach, not truth. We are to empathize, but we are not to conform. And we see this recognized in Romans 12:2. We're to be transformed. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That way you can test and approve what God's will is. We have to be able to understand God's word. It has to renew our minds. That way, when we are interacting with the world, we can test and approve what the world is trying to give us. And this also means we can speak truth in love. You are not being a hater if you are speaking life into an individual. If you are saying the way in which you are living is not only healthy physically and unhealthy physically and emotionally for you, it is also unhealthy spiritually for you. And there is only one way that you can be made new. And it's not through the pursuits of this world. It is only through the pursuit and the acceptance of Christ as your Savior. Secondly, we want to recognize that truth isn't worldly hate. The world's going to call it that. In fact, in 2 Timothy 4:3-4, it says, "For a time will come when they," meaning people of this world, "will not endure sound doctrine, but have itching ears. They will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own desires and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander away to myths." We are in a world filled with myths, that people are following after false gods, and they are going to rebel against the Creator, because that would mean they would have to give up their worldly desires. And we have to be okay with understanding that is part of the process. Truth is not worldly hate. No matter how much they try to label you a hater, that doesn't mean you're speaking hate. If you are preaching truth in love, if you are being that salt and that light, you have to recognize that salt purifies, but it also stings. You're gonna get pushed back. But we are called to stand against falsehood, especially when that falsehood is masquerading as truth, such as what we see with the He Gets Us commercial. Standing firm in truth is what Jesus taught. It will be seen and labeled as hate by those who are against it, but that doesn't mean that it is so. One of my favorite quotes is by Jason Whitlock, and how he described it, because we have to be prepared for pushback. We have to be prepared for people to accuse us of hate. And one of the sayings that I just love, he goes, "When we are fearful before God, we are fearless before culture." And that's what we're called to be. We are to be fearless before culture. Now, how do we reinforce this with our kids? So this is just practice upon practice. I mean, the best thing that we can encourage you to do is consume media with your kids, alongside your kids. I love watching my husband. He and my son will get together and they will talk through songs. They will read lyrics together. We will be watching the news or watching a TV show or a movie, and we will discuss what's going on and the worldview behind it. And so using the media that the world is giving you and pointing it to Christ is invaluable, because it gives you daily opportunities to practice the Rohr method, proper discernment, and to recognize falsehood within culture. So what we want to encourage with our kids with this reinforcing is we want to reinforce how to test the spirits. And part of that requires research. Research takes time. It takes persistence. I had to read several websites or several articles on the He Gets Us campaign. I looked up their sponsor company, the Come Near company. I looked that up, not only their website, but also I hopped on LinkedIn, because that's what they said to go to find out more about them, which it was as equally vague. And so, I mean, you have to look and do some digging. So what we need to be doing is, when things like this are coming out that are masquerading as Jesus, for one, do your research. Look into the background of the founders, the writers, motivation. Gather as much as you can. What is their motivation? How do they treat, ask these questions. How do they treat the word of God? What do they say about the divinity or the existence of Christ? What about truth, morality? What happens to us after we die? All of those worldview claims, they have to answer those. What are they saying? What does their statement of faith say? Does it align with scripture, or does it align with culture? Is it watered down so much that anybody could have filled this role? Is it watered down so much that we're compromising tenets of the faith? Then we have a problem. If it aligns with culture, then we need to make sure that we're interacting with caution. What that means is, if something is culturally led, then investigate it from a research standpoint, not an edification standpoint. What that means is you go to understand what the other person is saying or what they are promoting, but you do not go there for your own spiritual discipleship. That should only come through scripture. So go to scripture, and then if you need clarification on scripture, commentaries and proven godly sources are where you need to go. Now, how do we interact with others? Again, one of the right things with this commercial was showing how polarizing people can be, to the fact that they degrade the other individual's humanity. And that's a huge problem. We can't even have conversations today without people claiming that we're verbally attacking us. And it's to shut down this ability to have fellowship and to flesh out ideas. So when we're interacting with others, we need to, one, be mindful of the circumstances and the surroundings for which the conversation is taking place. So I had a situation arrive while I was in the military, to where one of my coworkers was asking me questions about the faith, But he would only do it when we were in a large room with other people around. And what he would do is he would try to instigate the others around to sort of make a mockery of the situation. And anytime I would try to answer a question, I would get partway through the answer and then he'd quickly change the subject to something else. So I was, oh, well, yeah, but what about this? Well, what about this? And so this is a tactic that people use because they're not actually trying to grow in the faith spiritually. They're just trying to find something that you don't know about. This is often called the steamroller tactic, I believe, by Greg Kokel. They're just trying to find something that you don't know. And then if you don't know it, well, that means they win because you weren't all knowing. But honey, you are not called to be omniscient. So that is okay. What you do need to be is aware of your surroundings. If a conversation is not there for edifying purpose, if the person doesn't want to grow, they're just looking to pick a fight or to try to make you look like a fool, totally okay to bow out of the circumstance of the situation. You're like, you know what? Maybe this conversation would be better held at a different time. So be mindful of the circumstance and the surrounding. We want to make sure that we're embodying James 1:19, which means we are being quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Oftentimes when anger comes on the scene, it doesn't matter what you say next, you've often lost the argument. So what's important is we need to be thoughtful. We need to be listening to understand, not to speak, but to understand, ask clarifying questions, mentally reflect, okay, what is this person searching for? What are they fearful of? What are they trying to avoid? What are the misunderstandings that they've adopted about themselves, about scripture? How have past abuses affected their perception of reality? There's a lot we need to take into accountability. So we want to make sure that with James, that James 1:19, that we are quick to listen, that we are slow to speak, that we ask more questions perhaps at times when instead of just giving answers. And then we make sure that we keep our emotions and feelings in check. Because if somebody is becoming hostile, they are not being hostile to you. They're being hostile to the Holy Spirit. You just are on the front lines and you're kind of taking that brunt of it. So just be aware of what's going on. And then let all your conversations be full of grace and seasoned with salt. That Colossians 4:6, one of my favorite verses. That is how we are to minister to others. And regardless, even if you're doing that, you're still going at times to be accused of hate. Teenagers who happen to be overhearing your mom's podcast right now, you are going to be accused of being a hater just for speaking truth and standing up for truth. But that's okay. You are not here for worldly approval. You are here to reflect the light of Christ. So do not allow the false perceptions of others to determine and affect your witness and determine your identity. So the He Gets Us campaign is one that should be taken very cautiously when you are interacting on this website. In fact, Natasha Crane, will put the link below, did several articles on the He Gets Us campaign exposing the problems behind this marketing strategy and who they are promoting as Jesus. While they will say that their main backers, the Come Near campaign, are Bible-believing Christians, they're confusing and concerning phrasing in the ways in which they promote ideas like sin, truth, that are outright falsehoods, that are misrepresentations of who Jesus is and the commands of God. And so this is not a ministry that we would recommend for edification, but one to point out as a teaching method for showing, okay, kiddos, this is what progressive faith paints Jesus as. And this is how we need to be careful, not just to accept something because it promotes Jesus. We need to say, okay, well, what Jesus, who is it that they're exactly promoting? What exactly are they saying? From the He Gets Us agenda campaign, one of the questions they asked is, how did the story of a man who taught and practiced unconditional love become associated with so much hatred and oppression for so many people? Again, so many societal buzzwords, gets a lot of clicks, but wait, is that what scripture is? Just a story of a man who taught and practiced unconditional love? Yes, he demonstrated unconditional love, but he also came in that love has standards. It does not delight in falsehood. It delights in the truth. So we have to be careful that what we are seeking for edification and knowing who Christ is, that we're actually going to godly sources for it. And first and foremost is scripture. And then we need to be going toward godly individuals within our own church and community, as well as ministries that affirm the doctrines of truth, especially regarding truth, sin, Christ's salvation, his death on the cross, his divinity, all of these core tenets of the faith need to be upheld. Otherwise, we are potentially dabbling in a ministry that is leading people away from Jesus and instead to just a Jesus-like charlatan. So mamas, papas, those are our tips for how to interact and use the ROAR method with the He Gets Us campaign commercial, which are included in our likes and comments. If you would like further content, check out our Mama Bear Apologetics website. That's M-A-M-A, Mama Bear Apologetics, all one word, .com. On there, we have blogs, we have podcasts, we have audio podcasts. We have an events page where you can find where a local Mama Bear will be speaking near you. And there's also an opportunity for you to request a Mama Bear to come to your church, your women's events, your parenting event. We speak to moms, dads, grandmas, grandpas. If you pour into kids in any way, shape, or form, our ministry is for you to equip you to raise the next generation to be bold in the faith. So check out that page, request a speaker, and have a Mama Bear come close to you. So thank you so much for joining us today. Check out our resources for more, and we'll see you next time.
This has been a Mama Bear Apologetics recording. To learn more about Mama Bear Apologetics, please visit us on the web at www.mamabearapologetics.com.
We hope you learned a little more about how to sift through ideas, accept the good, reject the bad, and now you can go teach your kids to do the same.
Do you have any questions? Or maybe some ideas about future podcast episodes?
Send us an email to askthemamabears@gmail.com and we'll do our best.
Rise up, ladies.
Rise up, Mama Bears.
We are all in this together.